Look at this. I got headphones on. I got a mic going. Baby.
If
Huh?
only people could see you now.
Hey, no video. We've gone through this before.
All right,
No
all right,
video.
all right. Welcome to This Commerce Life. This is a podcast aimed at small, medium entrepreneurs focused on commerce. I'm Phil, your host, and Kenny, your co-host, will join us as well. And we're going to talk to you about the world of retail and commerce and how things are changing in the world.
Recording.
Yeah, we know. Jesus. So in your face.
Did you see that?
What's Tim Dumas.
Kenny.
Mr. Dumas.
You have all a professional setup now. Wow. And you look good, Kenny.
Now,
wow.
I've had this for like ever.
Oh. What are
you talking about now?
Did you? You didn't go into makeup before for the podcast,
did.
Did you? Wow.
He did. Yeah. Yeah, the makeup lady just left the room. So
you're a beauty.
You don't look so bad yourself either, Phil.
Thanks.
This is what you happens had... when you go in the garden a little bit. See, you get olive oil skin. Look at this. This is what happens.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man.
Wow.
See, otherwise I'm white like you. But see, this is just, and that's it.
That is
that's
the great, one of the greatest farmer's tans I've ever seen.
This, it's a gardener thing, right? I'm a gardener now.
Now, Phil, I don't know if Kenny told you, but the only reason I came on the podcast again is Kenny hasn't been, he's been screening my calls. So the only way I could actually talk to the guy was to hop on the podcast there.
Yeah, he did say that. He said he's actually basically stopped returning all calls.
Yeah.
And like his voicemail says, if you want to talk to me, you got to come on the show. So
you know what? I might do that.
Here I am.
I might do that. And I'm going to put it this way. If you want to talk, you got to come on the show. If I don't call you back, it means I don't want you on the show.
Oh.
So now you got to read a whole bunch of
Wow, different see, you didn't want me for about 3 or 4 months. And now, yeah, I guess.
Foolish. I phone you back usually like almost right away. Pretty close to almost right away.
Yeah, I love both you guys. But Kenny, I have to admit, you're one of my favorite people in the world.
I love you too, man. It's all good. Yeah,
he ranks up there, even for me. Yeah. And I'm with him all the time now.
Yeah.
Like all the time, like connected to the hip.
I He's swear to God.
I mean, his wife can't say that about him anymore. So, Phil, I'm glad you still can.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Well, we've got somebody, right?
Amelia's nice. Moving up in my world, too. I've met her a couple of times now.
Oh, she likes you.
Oh.
Mama Vannucci, I like her, too. You know, they're kind of moving up in my world.
Oh, there's sour
too,
cherry jams ready. I think there's some biscotti maybe coming. So.
I got to meet Mama Vannucci. I haven't met her, but Amelia's delightful.
She really is awesome. I know. I know that. Yes, I'm well aware of that. Yes.
The greatest thing is when we had dinner together with her, Kenny. This is forever ago now, but yeah, she thought you were you were as crazy as I think you are.
Hey, it is
Amelia.
Yeah. I go to Amelia. What do you think about this Kenny guy? Oh yeah. I go. What do you think about this Kenny guy? She goes, I don't like him any more than you do.
Exactly.
Oh man.
It's been too long. It's kind of it gets a lot tougher to move things around.
There's risk now. There's children, so you split up, and somebody has to take the kids, right? Like
kids, they're 25 and 24. I don't have that protection anymore. Like, what am I going to do? I got to find something else that's ties to me so that I can't be removed.
Oh man,
I ain't stupid. I know who's punching out of the weight class in this relationship. I'm well aware of that.
Oh man,
well aware of that, my friends. Well aware of that.
So we brought Tim Dumas back. We haven't had you on the show.
It's been 2 years.
On.
2 years, guys.
2 years.
No, it was during COVID, wasn't
nope.
it?
No, it was before COVID. No, it was before.
We had Peter on during COVID.
We had Peter. Yeah.
Oh no.
I was the summer.
Wait, Peter. We don't want
Tim. Oh, sorry. Hold on. Get him on.
You thought it was Peter coming on. Oh, I'm sorry, Phil.
No.
Kenny.
I was the summer of 2019, gentlemen. It was like almost two years ago.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Really?
But I just wanted to let you know, I'm going for the Regis Philbin Award on your podcast. You know, he was on Letterman 150 times. So I'm two steps away to 150. So
you're two steps away from
you're
100.
two steps
into the 150.
You're into 148 away.
148
away.
Away.
You'll get there.
What is it as a percentage? Because maybe you could go for that.
Yeah, 1.5.
Like if he was on 150 times of how many, Regis
he's
Philbin
got a 1.5 mark right
you know
now.
What I mean?
He's killing it.
Yeah.
I mean, we're 190 episodes, right? So at two, you're at 10%.
10%?
Yeah.
Like 2 out of 190?
10%.
Hold on.
Phil. Sorry, no one. Phil. No. Sorry.
Less who does the financials at your company?
I apologize.
Kathy
does, actually.
Yeah. It's even worse.
It's even worse.
No, so,
whoa, yeah. Wait a second. What's going on?
Yeah, so,
yeah, that's even worse.
No, I'm on about 1% of the podcast. So that's pretty 1%. Good. I'll go with that for now.
Yeah.
We don't have a lot of people that have come back twice, right? We don't have a lot of... I mean, we're probably doing a
We've had a few lately because we've had some new developments. Like Yulia came on twice because Yulia got funding. Bram came on because Bram
his business has gone
with
crazy.
ShelfGram, his business has gone crazy.
Jake came on because his business has gone crazy. Fardad, we just love Fardad.
Because Amelia loves Fardad.
Because Amelia loves Fardad.
It's the only way we can get Amelia to listen to the show. So,
Has she listened to the show before?
Yeah, with Fardad.
Only when Fardad's on.
But speaking of listening to the show, I heard you actually, since last time I was on, I don't think you actually had listeners. I've heard you actually have listeners now.
We do. We have a lot of listeners.
Of us.
Yeah.
The boss is still with us. Yeah. And we picked up a few others.
Almost 10.
That's amazing.
Oh, I was going to say 15. I was going to say 15, but okay, maybe it's 10. I don't want to exaggerate.
Yeah.
No, it's just fun, actually. It's actually going to be good. It's a lot of fun.
We've gotten enough subscribers and downloads that we had who showed up at our door? Was it Monday.com? It's one of those project management guys. Do you remember who came knocking? No. Somebody, one of those guys came knocking to see if we wanted to do, it wasn't like, we're not big headed about it. Like they weren't like, what's it going to cost? Right. But they did take a pass at it. They took a run at us and went, it'd be cool. We'd like to sponsor you. Oh. And then we went, no, we don't really know what we're doing yet.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're only 190 episodes in. Like you would normally know what you're doing yet.
If this was in like a normal thing, it's like half a year. Do you know your job fully in half a year, Mr.
No,
Dumas?
No. Actually, like we know what we want to do with it, but I think the part that we struggle with from an advertising perspective is we just don't want to tax our listeners with so we've got Tim Dumas on. Hang on 1 second. Let's go cut to a commercial break and then come back.
Sponsored by Chevrolet.
Jack's Beer, Wine, and Spirits. 13 stores throughout British Columbia.
Oh, hey. Well,
that's different. Because we could work out the pay very differently.
Yeah. Home of the satisfaction guarantee.
That's a whole different play.
Yeah.
No, but it's been that because I don't think we wanted to. We're both kind of scared that. We've even had some, we could have had some guests on, or we could get some guests on that are just too big.
Yeah.
And I think that it takes away from the show, though. The purpose of the show is to be talking to like people like us, right? The three of us, small businesses, or like tonight, whatever you want to talk to you about is more of the coaching side and what you're doing on that side, as opposed to in the dream sessions and things like that, because that's been getting a lot more talk in normal business these days because of obviously, COVID, et cetera. Except we're out to Philly. We're done now, tomorrow? Well, Thursday. No masks. Thursday. We're full open.
We're out.
Casinos are opening. Nightclubs are opening. We can have indoors up to 50.
Or
50% capacity.
50% capacity, but you can have more than 50 if your capacity is 50 higher.
If your capacity is higher, it can go higher. Yeah. Outdoors, 5,000. Or 50% of capacity if it's higher, right? Or something like that. So in theory, I guess we could have concerts, right? For 10,000 people in the Coliseum?
Yeah.
Not Coliseum.
It's the BC Place or the Rogers Arena?
What's it? Rogers Arena. Yeah. I can't remember the name of it.
Yeah.
Probably because I'm pissed at Rogers these days, but that's a whole different story.
We don't have any of those things.
Someone shook my hand the other day, Phil. It was amazing.
So I did... Yeah. On the weekend, I did give, because Canada put out those rules, right? If everybody's vaccinated, you can hang out together, right? Yeah. Like, so those rules came out, and then you're actually able to give people who are also vaccinated a hug, right? So I actually gave I gave the in-laws hugs.
It's kind of nice.
They're
done
like
that
first ones
half.
That I've done in 18 months, right? Yeah. Actually, with the in-laws, maybe it's longer, but we won't talk about that. So
that's another episode.
Standards have all changed, right? Like,
we've been into this show for about 10 minutes. We got about 17 episodes.
Yeah. Hey, hold on. Is the show started? Or are we just spitballing still? You didn't tell me the show started.
The show started. Are you feeling pressure now?
Oh, yeah. Now I need to get serious.
Why? We've already, if anybody is still on listening to this next week, it's that we've lost them 5 minutes. Oh, so basically right now.
Yeah, yeah.
This is the three of us. Yeah, they're already long gone. Man. Don't worry about it.
Oh man. Yeah, yeah. No, we do have, like, tomorrow is our stage two, but our stage two is not it's like, so outdoor social gatherings up to 25 people. Indoor social gatherings for up to 5 people.
No.
And then we were laughing because we're a family of 5, right? So now we don't need to leave the youngest at home because we can actually eat 6 people together outside. And then retail goes to 50% and non-essential. So non-essential is still 25%.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a whole different province.
So we're a couple months ahead of you probably in
BC. Right, 6 months ahead.
Oh, come on. Like, so we got to do that for 21 days without rates going up before we go to the next stage. So stage 3, and then stage 3 is where you guys stage are. Stage 3
on Thursday, you know? Number stage 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
right? Yeah, but we only had 29 cases today in the province, yeah. Right?
It's in the right direction. I'll tell you one thing that I've learned during COVID and that I'll try to keep going afterwards. So we were only allowed 6 people to sit together at a restaurant, right? So as you guys know, I have 6 kids, my wife and I. And so we go to a restaurant and they say, oh, well, you can't sit with your kids. And we're like, that is the best thing. Are you kidding
me? COVID is a miracle for us.
We're sorry. You take the 6 kids and we'll go sit over there.
So, no joke. Steph and I are sitting at the bar having a beverage. And while the kids are, you know, maybe 10, 15 feet away at a table of 6. Just taking care of themselves. It was glorious. I think we're gonna keep it going.
Yeah. That's amazing.
You know what you do? You hit when you get to the restaurant, you give the head hostess a little bit of a tip. Say, listen, just whatever the kids ask, no, the rule still applies to the family. Yeah. They don't need to know.
Yeah. Doesn't matter what you read. Yeah. This restaurant's follows.
Little $20 rules. Bill, yeah. Take you a long way. If you gotta go a 50 spot, it's worth it.
Yeah,
that's amazing. Yeah.
Not to have the 6 of them with you. You could be in the same place, but not together. That's like a dream.
That's fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The things that, see, good comes out of everything.
There's always good out of everything. Yeah. Even when it's this shitty, there's still, we've learned a lot in the last 15, 16 months. Oh, my gosh. So.
Tim, what's going on with you?
Yeah. What's happening,
what's
buddy?
What's happening? Well, the one thing about time during the pandemic, very early in the pandemic, someone mentioned to me the quote by Winston Churchill, never waste a good crisis. And that rang in the back of my brain virtually like every day. And that was said to me maybe like days into the pandemic. And I think about so many people during the pandemic have said, oh, well, I'll just do this at the end of the pandemic. I'm just waiting to start my business or just waiting to make a sale. All those people who waited 18 months, as opposed to some of the people that said, we're going to act now, whether it's in their personal life, in their business life. But really, that was probably the quote that I lived through the pandemic and so many things got better business-wise, both in my life at Jack's, also in the rest of my professional career with my coaching company, Service Leadership, with my forums, with McKay Forums. And it was just a mindset, right? Like, look, the pandemic sucked. It was horrible in so many ways, but we have 2 ways of looking at it. Hey, we're going to take this as an opportunity to get better, have a better family life, have a better business life, make ourselves a better community, or we can just wait and you can be waiting forever till the right time to do something.
Well, I mean, you're right. I mean, just even like if you think about it, on Thursday, we're in stage 3. What does that mean for those people that were waiting? We don't know what's going to happen in the fall. Like, do you wait now till fall and pass fall and see what happens and think, well, we should see what spring's going to look like.
There's always a reason.
Opportunities come, take them, right? You're right. I mean, we had a couple people on, Phil, who had launched in the pandemic, which we were amazed about.
Yeah.
Like, and successfully launched. You're thinking, good on you. Again, to your point, Timmy, there's opportunities. Every challenge presents an opportunity.
Yeah.
Right. And it's sad. I mean, that this challenge is not to downplay it, but I mean, there was opportunities to be had if you chose to take them.
Well, totally. I mean, one of the greatest, the other great learning I had from the pandemic was networking. you know, so many people said, oh, well, I can't network anymore. Do you know, I networked probably more in the last 18 months than I had in the last 18 years combined.
Probably.
Yeah, simply because people were open to networking on Zoom, right? I would meet people, I get introduced to people, and we'd say, hey, let's have a 15-minute Zoom chat. If we can do some business together or add value to each other, great. If not, great.
Great.
And these were some people who were like, who are sometimes big names, right? Who they, you know, they were doing speaking engagements. They were all canceled. They had nothing to do for 3 months. You send an email and say, hey, let's connect. All of a sudden you're connected to, you know, people that hold weight. Mm-hmm. And I can't tell you how many, it must've been in thousands of people that I connected with and networked with over the pandemic. And certainly in my coaching business, I now coach people around the world. Do you know how many people I coached outside of Vancouver pre-pandemic? Zero, right? Like, I just never thought about that. I would want to go see them most times. If not, I would have a phone call with them. Now I coach 3 people in the UK. I coach somebody, you know, I coach a number of different people in the United States. I cross people across Canada. I coach people across Canada because it's now normal. They don't care. Everything's on Zoom.
That's just so much easier.
It's pretty cool. I gotta say, I do the same. So I've got one that a guy I coach in Riyadh, which is amazing, and then Ireland. It's really cool.
The world's fantastic. Cool that way right now. Though.
The world's cool like that,
right? You know? Can do it.
Yeah, yeah.
And if anything, like what it showed you, Tim, to your point, is that people who did not want to do any video conferencing prior to COVID because it seemed complicated, cumbersome, etc. I mean, everybody's doing it. Yeah. Old, young, it doesn't matter. And whether it's this, Teams, Meets, FaceTime, whatever. I mean, it just seems to evolve. Like, I mean, it was Skype, I guess, prior. And then that, all of it, now we're all using so many different mediums. So what are you doing, Timmy? Like, what's going on? Like, what's been going on in the coaching world then? Or whichever world you want to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, the coaching world. So, you know, Kenny, you know that, you know, my big thing in my life, my purpose is, and my purpose has evolved over COVID, right? Because we had time to think about these things, right? Were you ever running so much or driving so much? My driving went from like an hour and a half to 2 hours a day to like, you know, zero for the first few weeks. And now, you know, cut back, but it's getting back to it, right? But I re-evolved my purpose, and my purpose is now to dream audaciously, to serve generously, and to grow purposefully. And Kenny, I know you and I have talked about how I coach, and I coach through dream sessions, because one of the greatest, I was going to say pandemic, but that's not really, really a good analogy to use anymore, right? But one of the greatest tragedies of our time in our business world and in our communities as a whole is people have lost their engagement. This was happening way before the pandemic, right? The stats say that 2/3 of employees in organizations in North America are actively disengaged in their work. That means only 1 out of 3 actually engage in their work. So you get to thinking, okay, is there a way we can actually change this, right? What can we actually do? And so when you think about it, you think, you know, what can actually, I think someone's trying to call me. Can you guys hear that? It's the first time I've ever had a phone call ever on the home line. Do you guys still have a home line?
No.
Okay, no, I was thinking, that sounds like a phone.
It's a home line. Yeah. Nobody ever, it must be a pocket.
I thought maybe you were getting a fat.
Yeah, it did sound like that. Sorry. Ruined the story here, guys.
It's okay. Yeah. Don't worry about it. It's all good.
But really, the one way that we can re-engage people in the workplace is when we re-engage themselves with their dreams. And I've thought about this a lot. And Kenny, you know, at Jax, we've had dream sessions for many years. I've taken this now to the coaching world where, do you know that the average age of the person that they stop dreaming sometime around when they graduate high school, right? When kids are going through high school, they're often asked, what would you like to do when you grow up? What are you going to study in college? Are you going to go to trade school, right? What happens when you go to university, when you go to trade school? You know what people say to you? Get a job, right?
Get a job.
Get married, have kids, you know, do what everybody else does. But we forget to ask them about their dreams. Do you know what happens when someone comes to the workplace? And the first question you ask them is, hey, tell me about your personal dreams. Do you know what happens? They look at you like you're from outer space because nobody's asked them that for years. And
I wouldn't even know how to answer that if someone asked me. You know that. Eh? Okay, I would look at you.
I'm asking you right now, Kenny. Well, yeah, tell me about a personal dream.
Personal dream? I live my dream.
There you go. What's tell me what that's like.
My world is my world's not that bad a world, buddy. I got
wait, don't ask him
contracts.
That. I'm in his dream. This is terrible.
I mean, I've worked more with Phil than I ever have before.
Don't ask him.
I mean,
then.
Really, things for me since I left, you know, 5 years ago, week before, have been good.
Yeah.
I've done more things that I never thought I would do a podcast. Ever thought I would do a podcast. Never thought Phil and I would work this much together. Mm-hmm. Right. Would have thought I had a chance to work with clients like you, Tim, or other people. Like I've had it really good. I mean, since I left, you know, LD, and my run in LD was all good, but I've had a great 5 years. I do what I want to do. I mean, I get to play with hockey cards. I get to do my sports cards. Mm-hmm. The kids are doing well. Amelia's doing well. Work's okay. I mean, what the hell?
See, yeah.
Not that bad a gig, right?
But most people, Kenny, just like we talked about the pandemic, they qualify each thing they're doing by when the pandemic ends, I will do this. Once I retire, I will do this. How many people those?
Why wait?
Yeah. But those 2/3 of people that are disengaged, normally that's why, right? So
seriously, you don't sit there on the first day. Hey, Phil, welcome to Jack's. What's your dream, Phil? Like, what do you actually do that?
How does that work?
How do you go into that? Like, how do you get into
that? That's how you're welcomed into Jack's, Kenny. I wasn't
welcome that way. I'm sorry. We didn't do that. You met at my coffee bar.
Oh,
that was it. I didn't know what the hell I was getting into.
So in our onboarding, that's a big part of our onboarding because, you know, we talk about, you know, would you like to achieve more of your dreams by working at this job, right? Because we ask people, why do you want to work at this job? What's the purpose for you, right? Now, I don't know if you, Phil, or Kenny have ever had somebody come into a new job and say, you know what? My goal is to increase EBITDA for this company.
All the time?
Yeah, where?
All the time.
Tell me where.
All the time.
We'll hire them.
All the time. That's all people think about is EBITDA.
Yeah.
All we
dream about is return on investment.
Yeah.
That's all we dream
about. Before taxes.
Sales lift.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. No, like nobody says that. Like owners don't even
because who cares?
Because
owners don't even know what EBITDA is.
Yeah. Sorry,
what are you talking about
operating income. We'll say it that way. So, but when they come into a job, people don't think about that. They think about, wow, you know what? I might get promoted. I might buy a new car. You know what? I'm hoping that I can support my family. Maybe I'll even be able to buy a house. You know what? I might be able to afford that Hawaiian vacation once every couple of years, right? That's what people think when they go into a job. And you know what? I might have fun while I'm doing it, right? But nobody ever goes into a job saying, let's increase operating profit, right? They might say little things like that, but what it really is how can we support each other to achieve each other's dreams? So when I, as an owner of a business, when I, as a coach, when I support people and ask them about that, and then they ask me the same thing, magic happens, right? I had someone just the other day, this is in Jack's, I'm having a coaching session, and we call them dream sessions. So I have a dream session with someone. We go through, what are your personal dreams, professional, family, creative, adventure? And you're right. People look at you sideways initially. They're like, what the heck kind of company is this? I go,
because people think it's a stupid question. I'm here to work, man. I'm here to make some money because it's a job. But they don't, until you actually drag it out of, like, why this one? Why this job? Maybe you do find out. Maybe there is no dream. Maybe it really was just transactional. It's a job that pays. Or others are thinking.
I've still never met a person who doesn't have a dream. Never. And now some people might say,
think everybody dreams.
Everybody does, right? Like and you know what the best question is? You know why people don't dream? They don't get asked the right questions. And great coaches ask great questions, right? And one of the greatest coaching questions I was ever asked was by a great mentor, who the founder of McKay CEO Forums, Nancy McKay. She asked me one time, she said, Tim, if I told you you couldn't fail, what would you set out to achieve? And I had to think about it. I go, Nancy, no one's ever asked me that.
That's an interesting question.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But
If
I told you you couldn't fail, if you knew you couldn't fail, what would you set out to achieve? And then she prefaced that as I'm thinking, I'm sitting there, I'm almost dumbfounded, not sure how to answer. And this is me, a guy that like basically for a living dreams. Yeah. I thought about it dumbfounded. And she said to me, because Tim, I'll support you so hard that you won't fail. So now you got someone in your corner telling you that, you know what? Mm-hmm. The only reason you're not going to achieve it is because of you. I'm going to support you. I'm going to help you surround you with the people to get it done. What do you want to do? What life do you want to live? And could you imagine a workplace if we treated each other that way?
Hard to imagine because we just don't really do that.
Yeah. I really like your approach. I mean, we've met lots of people, I guess on the show, actually, we've met more people that have taken that step to where they want to go. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, we had John on who now coaches, you know, pro soccer, right? And he had to give up a lot along the way to get there. But I think I think there's just so many people that we've talked to in the packaged goods world where they just, you know, that wasn't the environment, particularly in our age groups, right? They're trained in corporate speak. They're trained, you know, that the org doesn't like, you know, that you might have aspirations outside of the company, even though everybody thinks about it, right?
That's a great quote, Phil. The org doesn't like that you might have aspirations outside the company. Mm. Like
you can use that, by the way.
Yeah, free. Oh, okay. Yeah,
you can use that for free.
That's the only one tonight, but that's a free one.
So it's going in my book. Okay. Do I have to quote you, though?
Excellent.
I have to quote you on that.
Absolutely.
One? Okay.
I would appreciate a quote, but it's not.
No, it's not appreciation. June 29th, 1958.
It's
not 7:58.
Is that the year you were born?
7:58. Yeah. No, 1960.
That was when Kenny was born.
You guys are just on a fucking territory. Aren't you?
But isn't that crazy, Phil? Like, when you say that statement, it sounds insane. Why do we act insane in the business world, in the place where we should be the most?
I don't know why we do that, because you think about you're right, Phil. The organizations really don't want, you know, what the things I think why organizations don't want you to do that, because I think what they think is that once you're there, you're theirs. That heaven forbid, like if you think about it, like I've had people come to me, you know, hey, listen, you know what? I've been here, even when I was in the old days of London, they've been 20 years in. I want to do something else. Oh, okay, what do you want to do? You know, I'm thinking of doing this. And I've never once said to anybody, oh no, you can't do that. Or, you know, to try to belittle them or make them feel like shit so they stay with you.
Yeah.
If someone comes to you with that sort of thing, unless it's completely, you know, whacked. And even then you wouldn't say it because I mean, what's whack to me might not be whack to you,
but you'd
always push someone to say, you should do that. Then if you really are on that spot,
like, first of all,
one crack,
if you want to be here, then the organization doesn't want you to be here either. Right. Like,
right.
Because you should be getting, you know, like it's a funny thing, right? Like at the base of it all is it's a transaction, the company and you. It's I give you services and you give me money. Like that's the transaction, right? And it works until it doesn't work, right?
Why does it do that though, Phil? Think about it. Why is it that you can't have companies or people within the companies, even when you're in the company? If Tim came to say, listen, you know what? I want to leave Jack's next year. Let's say I was an owner of Jack's, right?
Yeah.
I mean, why would I not say to him, say, okay, listen, you know what? I'd rather you stay, obviously, because I like you, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. What do you want to do? This is what I'm thinking of doing.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds interesting. How can I help you?
Yeah.
What's the disadvantage for me trying to make you happier?
I'm happy that you're with me until next year. So far, the relationship has been amazing. So as you work on your thing, stay here and do what you do because you're good at what you do.
Exactly.
And then if it doesn't work out, you stay. If it works out and you go,
help me transition you out.
We're super happy for you.
Right. I'm proud of you. That's awesome, man.
Help me find someone as good as you to take your place so that you're happy, I'm happy, they're happy. Yeah. Right. Like, yeah, you're right. Like, but it's not built into
the organization.
It's a really sophisticated conversation that quite frankly doesn't normally go the right way.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Often this conversation goes down this road of saying, okay, if our people start dreaming, they'll leave the company, right? Well, do you know what happens? It's exactly the opposite, right?
I think typically to say it's probably the opposite.
Yeah.
For the most part.
And normally when we get asked people to start dreaming, they start dreaming of buying an apartment, buying a house. Like,
how can we help you?
I can't tell you how many times at Jackson, you might know some of these stories, Kenny, but I there's a conversation about a you know, someone that was that works at Jack's, and they came to me and they were an immigrant to the country, and they said, Tim, you know, it would be my dream to buy a house or buy an apartment. And I said, okay, why don't you do that? And they said, well, I couldn't, you know, I immigrated to the country not too long ago. I don't, you know, so I don't have credit in Canada, et cetera, et cetera. And I said, well, do you know that that's true? You can't buy an apartment. They said, no, I just kind of thought. And I said,
other people
have told me, right?
Yeah.
So my favorite, one of my favorite questions is, prove to me that your truth is truth. You told me that you think that that's the truth. Just prove it to me. Call a mortgage broker, call a realtor, look at an apartment, and prove to me that they won't let you buy one. Well, guess what happens with this person? Like 3 weeks later, they put an offer on an apartment. They're living in their apartment 3 months later because somebody cared enough to ask them the question to prove to me that your limiting belief is true.
Right.
And how loyal do you think they are to the company, these people?
Well, at that point, it spins through, right?
And really, how much effort did that take me, right? Like,
well, because the effort is when you got to give a shit, right? For most times in organizations, it would be, yeah, I'm happy for you, Phil, but you know what? I got 50,000 things to do. So, you know, sure, you can't buy an apartment and walk away. People don't, it's not, they don't care enough, but they're so consumed by other shit in the building that maybe they just don't care enough.
So one of my job transitions, I was moving to Hubba, right? And Ben and I had talked about the founder at Hubba, and I had talked about it for a long time. And then the org I was with came to me and said, listen, like, we want you to apply for this role. This is upcoming. You're probably, you know, it's looking favorable, you know, kind of all of that kind of stuff. And like, basically I went back to my boss and said, listen, I really appreciate it, but I'm not going to apply for the role. I'm not going to take it. I'm not going to apply for it because I'm going to be leaving. The startup I'm going to isn't quite ready for me yet. So if it's cool with you, I'll keep doing what I'm doing. I will, you know, support you in any way I can. And then all I can promise you is that you'll see me coming and that, you know, none of my productivity is going to drop off. I'm going to keep doing all the things I'm going to do. And he was super cool with it, right? Like, and he was like, no, that's great. I really appreciate that, because that would have been terrible for me. I would have put you up for this thing. You would have gotten the job and then you would have left at some point, and it would have been really awful, right? And then, you know, when I told some of my coworkers, they were like, are you insane? Like, he could have fired you.
Why'd you tell him? Because if anything, he's going to fire you. What's he going to do? You're never going to get shit out of this guy.
Why is he going to fire me? What have I done? I signaled to him that I intend to leave.
Right. But that's
I'm not leaving yet. Like,
no, but that says everything to people, right? Yeah, that's organizations, because that means you're not loyal. That means, you know, heaven forbid, or how dare you try to do something different? Like, how dare you dream?
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to. It does come back to that thing.
A really sophisticated conversation. So I like that you're helping people do that. We do, you know, we get lots of people who are like, oh my God, I'm at the end, right? Like, I'm at the end, and I've been given the gold watch and, you know, my walking papers, and now I don't know what the F I'm supposed to do. Right.
Right.
And I think I get a lot of those, and I clearly don't ask the right questions, right? Because I always ask, like, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? But I think it's a really daunting question, right? I like
you asking that. What
yeah, dream. I like what you. I like dream
that
about
way Nancy said that. More. You know, like if you could do anything and not fail at it, like if you could pick one thing and you know you couldn't fail, what would you do? In fact, that's a cool question.
It's one of the greatest questions, and
that's a really good question.
We're gonna put that in our book.
Sure.
Do we need to quote you?
No. You just need to quote Nancy.
we just
or send a few referrals to her forum. One of them. She's happy.
Unless Kenny's writing the book, I'm not writing the book.
Yeah.
Hey, if I write the book, I remember. I'll, by the time I write the book, it's gonna be my saying. So
you just need a
ghost. I'm gonna get mad at somebody.
But like, when you think about those questions, it's it's brilliant, right? Because people always think about what's, you know, the next thing is the limiting beliefs, right? What are the limiting, what are the things that I cannot do, right? Oh, I cannot speak in front of 1,000 people. Oh, I cannot manage a company like this. Oh, I cannot grow a company to this. We always think about these limiting beliefs, well, the reasons why we're not. When we take those out, forget about that. How did great companies, how did great people become great people? How did great companies become great companies? Simple. They didn't have a limiting belief of what they couldn't do. They thought about what they could. Orville and Wilbur Wright, right? Those guys crashed, you know, how many planes did they crash before they actually,
Edison was what, 10,000 light bulbs?
Yeah, Edison, he said, and when they asked him, he said, I found 10,000 ways that it didn't work. And I knew I was one step closer.
There had to be one out there somewhere.
I knew I was one step closer to making how it did, right?
Yeah.
I have questions. What is your client base look like? Like, you know, so I get this a lot. So I have a handful of coaches or coaches that I coach. I don't really make a habit of it. I have a handful now, and I probably won't do any more because I think I'm more of a guide or a Sherpa than I am really a coach, right? Which I think are totally different things. What is your, like, because I'm sure there are going to be people in our audience base who are going, that's great. There's a coach. Who does he coach? Like,
what does it even mean? Really?
So I want to get
mumbo jumbo dream talk, whatever.
What is your, like, who is your everyday client base look like?
Yeah. So first let's answer the question of what is a coach? So there's three types of leadership. In my understanding, there's one can train somebody to lead them, and training is telling somebody what to do. One can also mentor somebody to lead them, and mentoring somebody is drawing on your past experience to help them understand what to do. Or there's coaching, which is simply asking the questions to help that person bring that out of themselves, right? Coaching is the greatest form of leadership and learning, because when we take that into our brain ourselves and we understand that ourselves, that's when we truly learn, right? Mentorship is second best. Training you must do sometimes, but is the third best, right? So what I do is my focus is coaching. 80% of a session with me would be coaching. And sometimes there's, you know, 10 or 20% mentoring. And, you know, mentoring is drawing on my past business experience. Some people might say, well, Tim, have you ever had this issue come up? And what have you done? I said, well, in my experience, I have done this. But so my clients are normally business people who are either entrepreneurs or executives in businesses that are looking to scale their business and their people. And they are just as excited about becoming great human beings as they are becoming great people. Because one of the things that I work on is we do a eulogy drill. And so I learned this from, this is great. Hey, yeah, Phil's giving me some strange faces. You probably can't see that.
Podcast. I actually like it. I like it. I think it's a great idea.
Stephen Covey said, begin in the end with the end in mind, right? Well, what do we mostly do every day? We do what we need to do to get to the end of the day, right? But when we come in a coaching session and say, great, can you tell me what you'd like them to write on your tombstone? The people once you leave this earth. And people look at me, they're like, what? I said, well, do you know what normally happens? And I fell into this trap a few years ago now, when I got given a business opportunity. I had an opportunity to take this business opportunity. And, but it wasn't anything to do with my passion. I was lucky it was a work with my business coach. And he said, Tim, why are you looking at this business opportunity? And I said, well, it's financially lucrative. And he said, is that what you wanted to say on your tombstone? He took the opportunity that's most financially lucrative. He said, I know that's not you. Your goal is to influence the most people, both inside your family and outside your family and your community. So how does this do it? And it never did it. So I ask people that all the time. If you have to write those few words on your tombstone, you can't write many, 12 words at the most, what will it be? And, you know, that encouraged me to build my purpose, which is dream audaciously, serve generously, and grow purposefully. But then I'll ask, you know, a coaching client, you know, what are the 10 points that you want someone to state about you at your funeral? And never once has anyone ever said, he or she created such great wealth. Their return on investment was awesome. Can you believe the margins this person punched out? Nobody's ever said that. I still, maybe I coach the wrong people. Never have they said that. They all talk about how they grow people, how they support people around them. And then I ask them, is that not the point of your business? When you support people, grow people, both your client base and the people that work for you, what happens? People start wanting to do business with you. Yeah. And that's the type of person that would want to do business with me as a coaching client.
Okay. No, that's really helpful. Are
you okay, Phil? You look like you're going to faint.
No. No, I'm good. I'm good.
Thinking face.
I'm thinking face. This is my thinking face.
That's thinking face.
This is the step before smoking. So the follow to that then is great. I buy it. I'm in. What do we do? Do I hang with you and you ask me questions all day? How many times do I meet with you? Is there do you just ask me once?
Is there homework? Do we have to do anything?
Homework? Do I meet with you every week? Do I got to lie down on a couch? Is this Karate Kid training? I got to come over and
wax on, wax off.
Do things. Yeah.
The whole thing is about, it's the coaching is also holding one accountable, right? So my average, there's no such thing as an average coaching engagement. However, most people I meet with on a biweekly basis and on a quarterly, usually for 45 minutes, and on a quarterly basis, we'll have an extended session of 2.5 hours. And that's when we really dig into it. What are the quarterly goals? What are the quarterly dreams that you have? And basically what we do is we work off of a template, which identifies, one of the first things we do is identify, what are your dreams in each category? Personal, professional, family, creative, adventure, legacy, what are those dreams, that your personal well-being? What are your dreams? And we work backwards. We start with the end in mind. 10 years, 10 plus years, then go back to 5, 3 and about up. Because normally what people do is if we start with the 90 days, in the 90 days, they don't dream audaciously enough. They don't answer that question of, if I knew I couldn't fail. But when we say 10 years down the road, they say, wow, 10 years, mm-hmm. I could actually buy a house in 10 years. I could actually, go on that round the world vacation. I could actually get this dream job, right? And then we start building back the building blocks of how we're going to do it. Just like with financial investing, right? What does the financial planner say to you? If you start putting away $10 every month when you're 21, you'll have this much, because of exponential growth when you're 65, right? The same thing with coaching. If you start doing these small little things and make them habits quarterly, so each session we're going through, here's the action items we have. What did we do to start knocking off those little pebbles that become rocks, that become knocking off and into those things that then get you to achieve your 10-year dream? And that's really what a coaching session is. We every coaching session that I do begins with gratitude. What are you grateful for? Because it's not gratefulness and or it's not happiness that makes us grateful. It's gratefulness that makes us happy. We then talk about our wins. What were the things we won on this week? What were the brutal facts, the tough things that we had? And then we build upon those wins and we overcome those brutal facts. And we look at any potential issues and we coach through them. And when we have an outside voice looking at it, someone that's not as, not you, you start to hear so many things and you see so many things. I can't tell you how many times a coaching session, I simply repeat back to the client, this is what you said to me. And they're like, I did? I said, I'm just repeating your words. This is what you said you want. They said, I didn't know that. But when we get inside our heads, we just need someone that really understand, listen, and ask those right questions. And if there's someone in your workplace that's willing to do that with you, or if you manage a company, own a company, or an executive in a company, it is absolutely invaluable. No athlete would go into a game without a coach, but executives around the world in droves go to work every day without a coach.
It's part of why I'm asking too, because I think, we know some great coaches. I mean, you're in there, you know, one of our favorites is Lori Shoplin, and she coaches women on how to live better lifestyles and lose weight, right? That is her thing. But I think that in our industry, it is one of those things where, like, really people could use coaches, but they don't realize that, you know, like it's almost like before pro athletes, you know, before coaches broke through, right? You only have one coach, right? Everybody had the same coach.
Right.
And then if you had another coach, it was because you were a head case, right? That needed a problem fixed, not someone who's trying to optimize their performance, right?
Right.
And I think, to me, asking some of these things, what I'm hoping is we for sure have listeners out there who, whether it's you or somebody else who's the right fit for them, they need to recognize that it's not about being broken, right? It's about how do you be the best that, you know, so I love the pro athlete kind of ideas that every pro athlete now has their own personal trainer. They have a personal coach. They probably have a coach and a trainer to help them optimize.
Most have coaches, goalies, for example, are always ones that have personal coaches, right? Yeah. Because you're trying to get that little margin gain because you're the final stop, right? I mean, I know, it's not training. It's not laps and you know.
No.
It's coaching. It's getting them to think, how do I do this?
Yeah.
How do I do this better?
The irony of this is the people that actually get coaching are the ones that are growing to the next level. And that's why, right? Mm. Because they're always looking for the next edge, right? Mm-hmm. If one would say to themselves, nah, you know what? Maybe I'll get it when I'm successful. Well, how are you
going to
get it?
Why wait there? No. Why not tune up so that you're successful faster, right?
Yeah. It's a lot like the, you know, Kenny, you and I've talked about the peer group coaching too, right? That I do through McKay forums, right?
Yeah.
I wish I would have known about this when I broke into, into the managing people in business. It's game changing when you get to hang out with other people in a peer group and support each other on their issues. Like, it is imperative for every business owner, for every business executive, that they get to remove themselves from their business just for a day, every couple months, and work on the strategy of the business. And so many people forget about that we need game changers around us. That's another part of coaching, is saying, okay, this is your dream. Who's a game changer in that area of your life? And how are they going to support you? People don't think about who those game changers are, right? Like, if you're going to scale, like, you know, we were talking about earlier, you know, potentially writing a book, right? If you and Phil actually are going to write a book together, who is going to be your game changer and who's going to mentor you to write that book? So you have a coach in that session, but you also have somebody who's done it before. So you say, hey, Timmy, do you know anyone who's written a book? And I say, yeah, I know this person. I'll introduce you to him or her. Let's talk about how they can support you in writing the book. We need those game changers around us, but we just don't ask those questions to surround ourselves with the people to help us achieve those audacious dreams.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I you know, like, honestly, I'm sure all of us, well, no, maybe the ones that you have conversations with, Tim, are different. I know Kenny and I, we meet lots of people who come out of this industry and they have no idea, right? But you know, and the funny thing is, like, all of them are high performers of all sorts, right? Because we don't come from a kind industry, right? Like, it's not an industry you can hide in. It's not, you know, because whether you know you're doing it or not, EBITDA makes all the difference, right? And so at some point, your salary,
you are getting graded. You are really getting graded on stuff like that. You may not know what you're getting graded on, but really it's an industry that's
everyone who comes from the industry, you know, that's long time, knows how to grind it out. They know what they're doing, but they really could use the extra oomph, you know, to round out the other things, right? Because we see so many people who get lost, right? Who come out going, I don't know what I'm supposed to do next. Like, what do other people do? And you go, no, this is the end of the, you know, like, before you go from analyst to a manager to, you know, a team lead to blah, 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 blah. You can follow a career path. When you exit the company, there's no defined career path. You got to find your own, right? But that's when, you know, the questions you're asking, they needed to do the work ahead of time, right? So that when they do exit, they know where they're going, right? So
that's also, I think, incumbent on, you know, the better managers that you have as you're going through companies should be doing that for you too. Even if your goal ultimately is to leave the organization, if I can help you sort of achieve those dreams, you will work hard for me while you're still with me. Realistically, John did that. If you think about it, John was coaching while he was at London Drugs. Everybody knew what he was doing, but people would make accommodations for him. You know, he still had to do the work, but they were willing to do it because I think there's people that gave a shit about him and said, you know, I'd love you to see this dream through.
Yeah.
That's what you want to do. Let's get you there.
Yeah. It's super
cool. And then you never forget that anyway. Like, I just don't want to, but it's sort of what you said at the beginning, Phil, but the organizations aren't built to do that. That's just not, it's not built into the psyche of it. Right. I mean, you should just be blindly loyal and just do what you're told to do. And your dream should be, you know, ultimately promotions and staying here forever until we don't need you. And then the dream ends because, well, we don't need you anymore.
But I think that's changing, right? Because I think
it has to.
I think, you know, in today's climate, I mean, you know, we started talking about all this COVID stuff, but the truth is like your personal life and your work life have never been more melded or fused together.
Yes.
You know, I mean, like, look, you know, like, you know, whether you have your own computer or not, you know, like most people, they have one computer, the work computer, and it does everything. Their home, their personal emails, or, you know, everything. And that's like one example of how you wake up in the morning and you can transition from a coffee in your pajamas to a WebEx call or a Zoom call for work, right? And that stuff's intertwined. So work, the corp now needs to worry about this stuff is, how do I help? And I think they are. Like, I think a lot of
I think they've learned, Phil, this also. They have no choice because they're going to be in a pickle if they don't.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's typically not the way you want it to happen,
stay in
right?
competition for good people, right? So, you know, happy people are better employees, right? So,
but you also got to believe that then, too. A lot of corporations go through the motions and the movement. You know, they know what they're supposed to do. You got to do it for the right reasons still, too, right?
So Mr. Tim, I have probably the final question for you is, how does one know if one needs a coach? Like, it's cool that Kenny and I are talking about it, and it'd be really cool if our listeners went, you know what, Kenny and Phil said we need a coach. Let's go call Tim, right?
Yeah.
It'd be great. You know, and we're saying it now. You probably need a coach. Call Tim, right? So if your phone rings off the hook, we apologize.
You can call Lori too.
You know,
because you know
that was probably just someone calling me during our conversation, just seeing you as a coach.
I mean, that phone call might have been one of our listeners going,
probably was.
That sounded like a fax.
Yeah, hey,
it did sound like a fax.
I want to tell you, I always turn my cell phone off, but no one's ever called me on the home phone in years, so that was the first time.
It was a fax. They were sending you tomorrow's menu.
Yeah
That's how effective.
It was a takeout menu. So
how do you know? Like, is there a moment that you know that,
like, when do you wake up in the morning and say, you know what, I need the coach today?
Am I 30? Am I 45?
What is it?
You know what I mean?
If in your life that you are fully committed to growth, because if you get into a coaching relationship, it is still incumbent on you as the person being coached to do the work. Right? The coach is going to be there to support you, to hold you accountable, to ask the right questions, to help you understand what you want and what your dreams are, even when you don't know what your dreams are. But you will understand your dreams by going through the process. But anybody that is looking to grow in their career and in their personal life needs a coach. And so a lot of people say, well, you know what, I'll wait until I reach this. Well, it's no different than anybody saying, you know what, I'll go on a vacation with my wife when I retire, right? You might never get there. So I had someone just the other day said, yeah, you know what, Tim, I don't think I'm quite ready in my career to take on coaching. I said, great. Do you think taking on coaching today will help you get to that place in your career quicker or not? And they're like, well, of course it will. So I said, well, why don't you take that on today, right?
Why do you want to take the slow road?
Yeah. So really the cheeky answer is everybody, but especially if you're in any position of leadership in an organization, it's not just you shouldn't just have one. It is actually imperative that you have one, because how can you effectively lead others and coach others if you're not being coached yourself, right? You can't give what you don't have. So when I scale myself up, I can actually give my people, the people I coach, the people I employ, an even better experience.
Okay. I like that answer.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. I am hoping that, you know, because we do have listeners that will need it. I think this has been helpful because it helps them think about, because we talk about it, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up, right? But it's kind of a terrible question because it's so much pressure, you know, that we've never been, you know, like Kenny and I, we're lucky to do what we do. Like my answer isn't different from Kenny's, right? Is I'm doing what I want to do, right? And I constantly work on it. So even in these episodes, I talk about like opportunities that come up that I say no to, because I'm constantly refining this kind of thing that I want to do, right? But
I think that's what slowed us down from a lot of things lately.
Yeah,
is that we've got this dream of doing more of this, which means we spend more time here because this is something that we kind of get a kick out of.
We want
this.
Right?
Yeah. This is sort of the dream. So back to your point, I think we're sort of living the dream.
Yeah.
Now maybe we should get a coach, Phil.
But we realize
I'm available, Kenny. I'd even do it for you.
Yeah, but it's got to be free. I can't. You know, I don't have your money, Tim.
But we realize like we're lucky, right? Because we've been able to answer that question, which we know a lot of people can't, right? Yeah. So I think that's the thing is, and it certainly wasn't easy, and we probably would have been able to do this faster with a coach, right? But
probably.
Having said that, you know,
probably,
yeah.
But I don't think at that point, at that time, I'm not convinced, because I don't think at that time we knew we wanted to grow or actually do this.
Yeah, yeah.
Like we were too sure what the hell we were doing. Yeah, I think we're getting to the point now where if Tim's question is, you know, if you know you want to grow, you know you want to really do this, it's time for a coach. That's probably where you and I are on this, to be very frank.
Yeah.
Right. It's probably, we're probably there.
I think you're this close to really doing, taking on the Simon Sinek podcast, really head on.
Beauty.
Yeah. No, but you know, as
we love you, Tim.
Yeah.
You're full of shit.
You're right up there with me. But as it relates to the coaching thing, the one thing that always comes up is time, right? People say, well, I don't have enough time to be coached, or I don't have enough time in my life to grow or to do the things I want to do, right? So there's, you know, once again, I've talked about some mentors today. One of them's Nancy McKay. Another one with the dream sessions. And I learned the eulogy drill from a great friend named Jonathan Dunn, who's a coach in Florida. But one thing that Nancy McKay talks about, and I've employed this in my coaching, is time. And she has this term called time mastery. And when people come and they say, you know what, generally they say, I don't have enough time to achieve these things in my life. Well, number one, that's a limiting belief. And number two, that's up to you. If you really want to be a great podcaster, if you really want to do something great in whatever part of your life, you'll find the time to do it. But so often we get stuck thinking, you know what, I have to do this because I have kids, or I have to do this because my boss said, or I have to do this. And we start becoming victims. And that is the kiss of death. Anytime you have any statement in your life that makes you a victim rather than the participant.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think to me, that's always been like, I guess I'm like that too. Like I taught a poetry masterclass early this year. I graduated with an English degree, and then I had a buddy who said, dude, like, how do you do all these things? Right. Like, how do you find enough time? And I go, because it's an and, it's not an or. Like, to me, that's the, you know, like, I think it starts there, is it's got to be an and, right? Like, you will figure it out. Like, you know,
if you choose,
you might
to
sleep. Yeah. If you choose to, you can sleep a little less. Yeah. You can, you know, there are other things to shave, right? Like, there's a Netflix episode I might not watch for a long time.
Remember Lori, you know, said like, that to us, Phil, that time,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
She said it was based. Remember, I think we said something to the effect of, well, we don't have any choice.
Yeah.
And she stopped. She goes, what do you mean? And you know, something about like going to work. She goes, why? Do you have to go to work? Yeah, we have to go to work. Obviously, I make money. She goes, no, do you have to go to that work? Well, I mean, I guess I don't. I mean, she goes, you don't. You can choose to go or not to go. Yes, there's consequences to your choices.
Yeah.
But you don't have to do anything really if you don't want to. So to your point, Tim, I mean, you make choices. If you want a coach and you say you don't have time, I'm with you. You know, could you cut out 15 minutes of the news if you chose to do so? Could you not have the coffee and newspaper in the morning for that half an hour if you chose not to? Like, just you can find spots,
but not the coffee.
You know, you must have the coffee. If you give up coffee, then I'm like, I choose not to be
with you. A commercial drive coffee company, the best coffee you'll ever have, by the way.
Hey, they don't sponsor the show. Be careful. Take it easy then. I don't want to get wrangled into some big falutin contract.
Well, my daughter works at Prado now here in Tawasin, so I'll give them
awesome.
Yeah, as it relates to Kenny, you're absolutely right. Right. You know, a lot of people say that I have trouble. You know, it comes up in coaching all the time. I have trouble saying no to things. But do you know what happens when we start digging down into that? They don't have any trouble saying no to things. They say yes to other things and they say no to things. They just don't realize it. I've done that many times. Ask my wife, right? I say yes to a whole bunch of things at work, more things that I could. All of a sudden, my wife says to me, well, you didn't know you were saying no to me, but you said no to me because you came home late.
Well, you chose something else
over myself or the kids.
Absolutely.
And I fell into that. And then sometimes I still do. And we fall into that and we get into this limiting belief of thinking we don't say no, we actually are, but we're not doing it. Secondly, one of the great aspects of coaching or being in a peer group is understanding, as in a business executive, this term I call executive brevity. And Ian Price, a great coach in the UK, I learned this from him, that really when we're looking for more time, do you know how much time we waste in meetings every day? You know, the average executive is in meetings throughout the day, right? They have a 2-hour meeting, a 1-hour meeting.
We're well aware of all that.
If we simply understood how to get our point across in less time and in less words and cut every hour meeting to 45, every half an hour meeting to 15, can you imagine time that we would have?
I think I coached you on that.
This great guy named Kenny Vinucci.
I think I coached you on that
East Vancouver Commercial Drive Coffee Company.
I think I did that one. You should have seen that. He comes to me one day. He had meetings like from 7 till 7. I got no time to do anything else. Well, no fuck. You got the whole day booked. Do you need that many meetings? Oh. Like, how much can you possibly meet?
Oh my God.
I didn't even realize you didn't need me here, Phil. It was all Kenny that talked. I forgot about it.
It's all Kenny.
That's because you're not taking my calls.
I'm a coach, man. I coached Timmy when he was coaching me all the time.
Phil, I have to tell you that Kenny may or might not call himself a coach, but Kenny is one of the greatest business leaders I've ever met.
No, I don't coach. I'm not a good coach at all.
Kenny's a mentor. I
mentor more than a coach.
But he's a great one. He really is.
Yeah.
He won't be able to handle this, but
anyway, that's okay. Whatever. It doesn't matter.
you see what I mean?
It's all good.
Kenny gets all awkward.
Whatever. It's stupid. Shut up. We're talking about you two. I was just teasing him about, although I did coach him on that one thing. I'm going to take that one. I'm the one that starts cutting your meetings back. I know that many times.
Yeah. You have to come see the Jack's meetings today, Kenny. They're amazing. You should come.
I'm sure they are. They were good before there. They were always good meetings. Yeah. They just needed to be a little less of them.
Yeah.
So you got more stuff done.
Yeah. I know.
All good.
Tim, thank you for coming on the show. We really appreciate it. If people want to find you, they can. I can put your LinkedIn in the notes. Where do they find
email,
your
coaching whatever
business?
Sure. My coaching business is called Service Leadership. It's spelled S-E-R-V-U-S. Okay. It's the word servant in Latin, serviceleadership.com.
Okay.
And you can call me. All my phone number and email is on there. Or just talk to Phil and Kenny and we'll connect you.
We'll send a fax to Tim.
Yes.
Apparently his fax machine works. We heard it. We've heard that. Someone maybe in the house still had it on phone line and forgot to flip it over to the fax.
You could send me a letter too. Just send me a letter.
Yeah. Good Lord.
Yes, there's a post office system that works. Yeah. That's good. May take a year to get there, so, but that's okay.
No, do that. Hop on my website. You can even watch my Get Inspired talk about dreams. There's a link to it on my website. It'll talk about how dreams inspire us to achieve our potential.
Send the link to Phil. You can put it into the podcast notes.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a better way to do it. That's good. Yeah. Awesome, buddy.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.
I love you guys. Have a wonderful
love
day.
Love you too, man.
We love you too.
Okay.
Yeah, take you
care,
too.
Take care.
All right, take care.
Bye. Ciao.
Bye.
Phil, you're sticking on?
Yeah.
Anyway, well, it's very interesting.
That was good.
Yeah.
That was really good. Yeah.
I like talking to him and Lori about stuff like this because they do make you kind of.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They push you around.
Kind of think, right?
They push you around politely.
They think, right?
Politely, but they push you around, right? And you gotta think your way through it. So
it's funny. It always comes back to the choice thing, doesn't it?
Yeah. It really does. Right. Yeah. But it's good. I liked it, and I hope that helps, right? Because I, you know, we do. We get all these people who have no idea what they're gonna do with anything, right? And you know.
I hope it helps because I think that one question, like if somebody, like if he was to ask me now, you know, what's the one, if you could, you know, if you didn't have any fear of failing or, you know, some of their, you know, what would the one dream? I would love for us to be like fucking rock star podcasters.
Yeah.
Right. I think I think we can do it. I think it would be really cool to. Yeah. Just bust this out, right? I mean, yeah. I don't know what that means even.
No, I do.
You know?
I know what it means.
Yeah?
I know what it means. I'll tell you. But I know what it means. I have a vision of,
you got
of
a vision?
What I think we could be. Yeah.
That's going to be fun then. Because I think this is a...
Yeah.
Because I'm like you. I mean, I'm lucky. I've done a lot of things that I've wanted to do. Yeah. And I've made choices on other things that I might have liked to do, but I wasn't big enough to sacrifice. You know what? I chose to say, you know what? Nah, I'm not trading what I'm doing for that. But
I
would trade a lot of things to do this one.
Yeah, I would do it. I'm there, and I think we're gonna take a run at it. So it'll be.
Geez,
fun.
I gotta buckle up then. Holy shit!
Yeah,
scared me.
Yeah.
Oh my God! Now I'm getting all edgy. I might have to phone Timmy.
Okay, I'm gonna stop this recording now.
Sounds good.